This is the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup presented to you by High Five Tom and in conjunction with VFTR 2.0, all part of the amazing family of...
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
What up, High Flyers? What up, High Fivers? Once again, it's your boy High Five Tom here to let everyone know about all the hot action here in the Midwest wrestling scene. And what some would call maybe a slow week in Midwest wrestling, because many of our Midwestern All-Stars were out east, but the action here in the Midwest this week is coming out swinging. First, we have Absolute Intense Wrestling presenting their show, Big Trouble, going down Thursday, April 11th at the Mercury Music Lounge in Lakewood, Ohio. On the card, we've got WWE legend Hornswoggle, Zaya Brookside, the production, and many more. Speaking of Hornswoggle, we have three shows going down Friday, April 12th, starting with ACW's 59, the go-home show. For what is ACW's biggest show of the year, Water City Con, going down at the Oshkosh Masonic Center in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It all comes to head with a card featuring the Baker Boys, Preston Palmer, Drake Daniels, The Curse, and this month's Wrestle 414 guest, the Spectre Jaden Mercer, takes on his mentor turned enemy, Salem Crane. Then we've got River City Championship Wrestling with their show, The Great American Legion Bash, at the R.L. Vinger's American Legion Post in La Crosse, Wisconsin. On the card, we've got Joey Avalon, Jared Jax, Sierra, and former guest of the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup, Hartenbauer. Then we have New Japan Pro Wrestling. What? Tom, New Japan Pro Wrestling, that's not in the Midwest. Well, this is my pod, and I do what I want, but New Japan Pro Wrestling is back, this time at the Winchester Arena in Chicago, Illinois, for Windy City Riot. Huge card. Stay tuned for their socials for details, but if you see your boy High Five Tom and his crew, stop by for a high five and maybe a drink or two. Then we have 11 shows. Yes, 11 shows going down Saturday, April 13th, starting We Love Wrestling, Volume 5. Now, in case you missed it, the great conversation I had with Tommy Trainwreck that dropped yesterday, as this drops today, go back and listen. But Tommy and his crew at We Love Wrestling are bringing Volume 5, The Open Weight 8. Great name. Now, I said this in my conversation, Tommy. Love the name. Love the concept. Basically, this could be a one-night tournament, which will be held where eight men battle for chance at the We Love Wrestling briefcase, which allows them a title shot anytime. So what will happen? We will have four matches where eight men will contend. Then the winner of those four matches will go on to a ladder match to end the show. And like I said, the winner wins that We Love Wrestling briefcase, which allows them a title shot at any time. And also, the main event, where the Pure Heart Championship is going to be defended when the Ice Pick Vic Capri takes on Ring of Honor star Michael Elgin. But they'll be back at the Northwoods Recreational Sports Complex in beautiful Pembine, Wisconsin. But like I said, make sure you go back into the archives. As I just talked to Tommy yesterday for more details on this show. But after that, we've got Now That's Wrestling, and they're back with their show Wrestle Riot at the Wood Ice Bar in Winneconnie, Wisconsin. On the card, we've got XTC, Preston Palmer, Peter Schwantz, just to name a few. Rocket Pro Wrestling is presenting their show, Spring Break, at the St. Joseph's Park in Joliet, Illinois. On the card, we've got former Windy City Slam guests Aaron Stone and Steve Michaels, Marche Rocket, Devin August, amongst many others. Super Shogun Wrestling is back with yet another banging show going down in West Branch, Michigan. 01 is back at the West Vigo Community Center in Terre Haute, Indiana. On the card, they've got ATM, Mad Dog Conley, Jack Landers, and many more. Time Bomb Wrestling has their show Cause for Alarm at the Glasshouse in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Card featuring Brandon Gore, former guest of the Shining Wizards podcast, frontman Jaw C, Masha Slamovich, Connor Hopkins, NDS, and High Five Tom favorite Speedball Mike Bailey. Under the Lights Entertainment is running a fundraiser for the Child Abuse Society of Menominee and Marionette at the River City's Fieldhouse. On the card, we've got Sensei Storm, Nell Dillinger, Redis Atlas, Tyler Baggins, just to name a few. Next, we have a Zawa show. Their show Won't Back Down at the Parties on Pulp in Nelson, Illinois. On the card, they've got Ever Bennett, Shelly Benson, and the Mark Choking Out artist, Jay Fowler. If you want to know what I'm talking about, make sure you check out Jay Fowler's social media. As a fan tried to rush the ring a couple weeks ago, and Jay made sure to tap them out very promptly. Stay tuned to Midwestern Wrestling Roundup as we hope to have Jay on to talk about that very incident and much, much more. But Freelance Wrestling has their show in Freelance We Trust at the Logan Square Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois. We've got We Love Wrestling alum Chico Suave, former Shining Wizards guest Darren Corbin, Shane Mercer, just to name a few. Showtime Wrestling has their show Settling the Score going down in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, with another huge card featuring personal friend of High Five Tom, number one, I say number two, Onyx Andretti, and many more. UWE is back at the Cadillac Armory in Cadillac, Michigan. Then we've got Honor Among Wrestling is taking over at the Bettendorf Community Center in Bettendorf, Iowa. On the card, we've got High Five Tom, Favorite Sabotage, Sean Logan, Axel Rico, Mateo Valentine, the Hale Sisters, and TNA superstar Sue Young. Then we have four shows on Sunday, April 14th, starting with Independence Pro Wrestling and their show Blackout at Ruger's Up and Under in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Card is pretty tight-lipped, but I have it on good authority. Car of some of your favorite Wisconsin wrestlers will be on their way to Kalamazoo. Then we have Second Wrestling going down with their show Taking Names in Vernon Hills, Illinois. On the card, we got Davey Vega, Missy Kate, the debuting Kevin Koo, and many more. Then, Midwest All-Stars Wrestling has their show Double Jeopardy in Woodbury, Minnesota, highlighted by a 50-person two-ring battle royal and a big fan fest. For all the details on that battle royal, the card, and the pricing for the fan fest, hit up their socials for details. Last, we've got Galley Lucha has a huge show going down at Thalia Hall in Chicago. On the card, we've got Axel Rico, Moondog Murray, Aerostar, the Brothers of Funstruction, just to name a few. And oh wait, Tom, didn't you mention something about Ruthless Pro Wrestling review after you had a great conversation with Ruthless Peapod last week? Well, yep, hot off the presses, I've got a great review of the Ruthless Pro Wrestling show from last weekend, courtesy of good friend of the show, Mr. Eric Freed of Nattering with E and Frigid A, which both can be heard here on Visionaries Global Media. So I just want to go over these results, I'd say real quickly, but Eric does such a kick-ass job on these results, we're going to be super thorough. But the first match we got was Midwest Scum versus 440 Blue for the Ruthless Pro Wrestling Tag Team titles. 440 Blue hits the ring, RSP, Christian Napier, Vincent Nothing, and Alice Crowley. RSP promo, crowd hates the leader of the 440, starting a go-home Ricky chant. Ricky Shane Page, for those that don't know, announces he'll be out of action, but Alice and Vincent will take on Midwest Scum as he's injured, but eventually he'll be on the show. Midwest Scum hits the ring, Zach Thomas destroyed Christian Napier at Ruthless Pro Wrestling's last show, Animosity, which ruled a lot of ass. Grimy is coming back for some time off to have Zach's back against 440. They noted Alice Crowley's normal tag partner pre-joining 440 Blue is Mole Atlas Hoodfoot. Like, what the heck? Napier runs in to take out Logan Grimes' knee, and Zach Thomas goes it alone until Napier comes in again to beat down Thomas for the DQ. Oddly enough, 440 comes out to make the save for Zach Thomas. Winner and still champions, Midwest Scum. 440 Yellow cut a promo, put over Midwest Scum, and make fun of 440 Blue. Tries to recruit Zach Thomas, who walks away after his brother made the offer. Next, in a match that Eric, before sending this over, definitely highlighted. We've got Low Life Louie taking on the ICW Insane 8 current champion and future guest of this very show, Dr. Redacted, versus Schwartzy and Randy West in a Red Light District death match. That's got Ruthless Curse written all over. But Louie and Schwartzy and Randy West all have barbed wire dildos. Much like Animosity when Randy and Schwartzy fought two brothers, it was a bloodbath. The Bald World Order is a psychotic team, and the psychotic team I didn't know I needed. Schwartzy and Randy are sponsored by Mint Cannabis and came out with merch for all of the fans. Editor's note, if we get Midnight West Scum versus either of these teams, holy bonkers, that match will be. You said holy bonkers, but I'm going to say holy shit, because we do what we want on here. But I can't believe I'm writing this. You're reading this, but Schwartzy and Louie trade shots, stuffing a big black dildo down each other's throats. Then Randy stuck a spiked dildo in Louie's mouth to rip his teeth out. Jesus Christ. Wow. Ron Nemi on commentary loving this dildo match is hilarious. Winner, Schwartzy and Randy West. Next, we've got the Kamikaze Championship featuring Remington Roar, the champion, versus Remington Roar, also a Insane 8 ICW alum. And, like, if you listen to Ruthless Peapod and I, definitely somebody on the come up. He's been there on below the surface, brewed for a while. This is Tom speaking, not Eric. But Remington Roar is definitely bound for a breakout. But versus Craig in a tooth and nail match. Roar's a fan favorite, superstar in the making. That's Eric's word, so he obviously agrees. But Craig didn't know much about the announcers, seemed to only know the basics about him, too. Every time I watch a Roar match, I think the other guy is going to die. They did some work with this nail board thing, and Roar was reeling. He hit Craig with a Falcon Arrow through the nail gun. That was scary as hell, but Craig no-sold it. Mercilessly, Roar hit the execution gorilla press into jackhammer to end it. Winner, Remington Roar, and still your Kamikaze Championship champion. And listen, shout out to Ruthless Chris and the crowd. I do love these belts. I said, you know, Peapod and I talked about it a bunch. These belts are awesome, the names and everything. But our fourth match, we've got Joel Bateman versus Donnie Darko in a Razor Boards and Panes of Glass match. A match of England versus Australia. It seems like these two islands want to battle each other. But yeah, oh sorry. A match of New England versus Australia. Light beers versus IPAs. Well done, Eric. Thank you, by the way. The duo attempt to go shot for shot before sending each other into panes of glass. What's wild is they went outside into the crowd with no guardrails for the audience in order to hit each other light tubes. Scary stuff for the crowd. Kind of typical. I do enjoy stuff like that. The element of danger is always pretty good. But Bateman attempted to scalp Darko with a light tube. Then they went back into the ring and Darko body slammed Joel into a razor board in one of the most vile spots I've ever seen. Dude, this is coming from my boy Freed. That's saying a lot. But Bateman crushed a light tube into Darko's arm, then put him in an arm bar and tried to slit his wrist with a razor at the same time. Woof! Wow, yeah, just saying that out loud gave me the heebie-jeebies, so that's me, not Eric speaking. But Bateman eventually wins by jumping on Darko's back and trying to scalp him with a razor, which led by Darko quickly tapping out. Your winner, Joel Bateman. Bateman cuts a fantastic promo about nearly quitting the business, but the deathmatch wrestling in some twisted way saved his life. He says the matches he's had during many a week are the reason he's not retiring from pro wrestling and the fans. Rightly puts over Donnie Darko as the future of deathmatch wrestling, and that Australian and European deathmatch wrestling is on the rise. And let's say, Eric did check out Peapod's recommendation, Dude, Where's My Ring? From Australia. It said it is bananas, so definitely have to check that out. But it's really cool to see that Ruthless Pro is bringing in this international talent, and it's really cool that they appreciate it, so kudos to them. Once again, that's Tom, not Eric. I should probably mention that. But Judge Joe Dredd did a promo about Tremont ducking him and disregarding him. However, he wants Tremont to acknowledge him, that he's the only one brave enough to set Tremont free from the Killdozer gimmick. Match number 5. The aforementioned Matt Tremont versus Joe Dredd in a Typhoon of Light Tubes match. Joe Dredd and his Steven body come out to Tremont's Bulldozer bass music with a t-shirt that says Tremont is scared with the word Japan crossed out. Joel Bateman also comes out with Judge Joe Dredd jersey. Suddenly, Korn's Freak on a Leash hits and here comes the Killdozer. Or wait, Tremont is back to the Bulldozer? Judge Joe looks terrified as Tremont has returned from the dead. The psycho is gone and the face of deathmatch wrestling has returned. The Typhoon of Light Tubes match concept is insane. The ring is covered in light tubes in front of the ropes. They're now going shot for the tubes. Okay, so they literally cleared every tube, going shot for shot, and smiled at each other, then fell down. Joe Dredd said in interviews that Matt Tremont is his dream opponent, which is pretty cool to see. Also, Tremont, I think, bleeds more than Jon Moxley, if that's fucking possible. Peapod Neiman even went out of their way to say that Judge Joe Dredd has a younger Matt Tremont. Tremont hit his patented DVD on Dredd through light tubes. Steve and the body jury jumped in to save Dredd. However, Tremont was able to dispatch of him. Terrence, this wild guy, came out to save Dredd. I'm pulling for Cruel to come out, but I think someone else might. Tremont wins by disqualification. Post-match, Dredd and Turks eulogize a knocked-out Tremont. While the crowd shows its disdain, Dredd says he set Tremont free with the help of the monster Terrence, declares himself the new Bulldozer. Huge angle. Tremont gets up after and cuts a passion promo that revenge is imminent for Judge Joe Dredd. Next, in a Danny Havoc tribute match, we have Clint Margera versus Slack. And real quick, this is Tom speaking, not Eric. Like I said, if you listen to the Peapod promo, obviously Danny Havoc is someone that's close, has deep ties here to the Wisconsin wrestling scene. Lived and trained here for many years. Good, close, and personal friend of this show. You know, our good friend Dysfunction. So I just want to show it. This is really cool. That was really awesome. But both Slack and Margera came out together for Danny Havoc's old theme song. Similar to the previous match, the ring is filled with light tubes, panes of glass, and new to the show, a trampoline of barbed wire outside the ring. Shout out to my good friend Josh. This is Tom speaking again real quick. Who did the barbed wire trampoline for the Insane Eight a couple years ago. So I will have to reach out to see if this is another one of his creations. But Schlack takes a light tube split through his mouth, then retaliates by crucifying Margera on a gusset board cross. Schlack took Margera through the spiderweb of barbed wire with a body slam, and they got stuck in the wires. They had to stop the match for like 2 minutes as the ring crew got both guys out of the barbed wire spot. Web. Margera tried to superplex Slack through the back to back chairs, but Slack fell off the top turnbuckle, then got up like it was nothing. They then fixed the botched spot and Slack went through the two chairs. Slack hits a light tube full Nelson suplex, and somehow Margera kicks out at two, then hits Slack with a Falcon Arrow through a bunch of light tube. Slack wins by hitting a DVD through a glass pane. Next, Tokyo Towers and Light Tube match featuring John Wade Murdoch versus Yusaka Ito. John Wade Murdoch also in the Insane Eight. Well, actually, Slack also. Both former Insane Eight competitors. Both were there in 2020, actually. But Murdoch was running through Ito for the first half of the match. I watched a lot of Murdoch matches, and this is the first I can recall where he wasn't the one getting destroyed. Murdoch hits his wacky back body drop through pains in a chair, but basically carefully put Ito down, who then cooked out to Ito, then picked up a Tokyo Tower, ran through Murdoch, then used the shards to cut up his own stomach. Murdoch then got body slammed through a pin block contraption. Ito went to put skewers in Murdoch's head, but Murdoch countered, put it through Ito's head. Then Ito put some of the skewers from his own head in Murdoch's mouth, used a safety pin to slam it through Murdoch's cheek. Did everybody get all that? Because honestly, I'm not sure if I did. But Ito hit the gross pile driver off the second rope through a bunch of chairs with light tubes across them. Murdoch kicks out at one, then hit a running knee through the glass, which Ito kicked out at one. Then Murdoch put him away with a sit-out pile driver. Then match 8. An open challenge where the Ruthless Pro Champion Atticus Kolgar with 4408 yellow versus Christian Napier with 4-0, 4-4-0 blue. Atticus defeated Hoodfoot in Animosity 4, the Ruthless Pro Championship, thanks to the assist from Nate Pierre, despite being on opposite side of the 440 Civil War. However, he and Atticus technically hate each other, so Napier answered the open challenge when Jay Curtis couldn't commit to the event. Napier went to end Kogar with a splash to the outside, but Kogar moved. With the help from the crowd, Kogar hit a double stomp with a chair into Napier, who was buried under a bunch of chairs. Napier hit a top rope Tiger Driver through a door, and somehow Kogar kicked out at 2.99. The rest of 440 Blue attack Kogar and appears to be on the verge of winning as they overcome the rest of 440 Yellow as Ricky Shane Page is about to end Atticus Kogar. Zach Thomas of Midwest comes out to save Atticus and accepts the earlier offer to join 440 Yellow. Winner and still your Ruthless Pro Champion, Atticus Kogar. Then, in our main event, in a four-way for my favorite title in wrestling, the Ruthless Pro Wrestling Rust Belt Championship, where Tommy Vendetta, which I know is definitely one of Eric Fried's favorites, Malcolm Monroe III versus Lou Nixon versus Atticus Kogar versus Hoodfoot Atlas. Going into this match, Tommy Vendetta has been cheating to keep his belt, and the RPW management has had enough, so they put the four-way match to ensure no shenanigans from Vendetta. Vendetta comes out with Darren McCarty of the Pillars to announce he's injured and can't compete due to injury. However, RPW owner Chris, Ruthless Chris, friend of the show, comes out and says that if Vendetta doesn't compete, they'll vacate the title. To avoid losing the title, Monroe, Vendetta's tag partner Pillars, says he'll fill in for Tommy. That's what happened. Okay, so it's Tommy Vendetta, who's replaced by Malcolm Monroe III. My apologies, I misread that. But Vendetta hops on commentary as Monroe throws the three monsters in the ring. Spot fest to open the match as Malcolm Monroe takes out everybody on the outside. Otis then jumps off the top rope to clear the ring. Hoodfoot and Lou then hit each other and load Otis with light tubes. Then Malcolm and Hoodfoot pair off, and Lou and Otis pair off on the other side of the ring. Hoodfoot then joins Otis, and Lou and hits Otis with a barbed wire bat. MM3 tries to run in to stop the pin attempt. However, Otis literally picks up MM3 by the junk and throws him on top of Hoodfoot. Tower of Doom back suplex spot on Hoodfoot meets Otis on the top of the turnbuckle with Lou Nixon knocking them both off. Hoodfoot somehow gets chloroformed by M33 and still manages to hit a cutter on Lou Nixon in a daze. Malcolm Monroe III tries to hit Hoodfoot with a brainbuster, but Hoodfoot reverses and sends MM3 into a chair. Otis then throws Hoodfoot off to the side of the ring, into a pane of glass, through a door, and both men go down. It comes down to Lou and Malcolm, with Lou dominating Malcolm. However, Malcolm turns it around, and Malcolm throws the Lego, staple of every Pillars match. Malcolm gets a finish off Lou with a springboard cutter. However, Otis hits Malcolm with the light tubes as he's coming off the ropes, and an unconscious Malcolm falls into sleeper from Lou Nixon, who is now the new Rust Belt champion. Lou cuts a post-match promo saying he'll defend the Rust Belt Championship all over the UK and be back for the ring Ruthless Pro Wrestling King of the Kill tournament in August to defend the Ruthless Rest Belt title throughout the tournament. Show closes with Lou and Tommy having a brief stare off, and ladies and germs, that is a great review of our Ruthless Pro Wrestling's Miasma show that went down Sunday in Williamstown, New Jersey, not Morristown. But yeah, thanks again to Freeds. Make sure you are following Freeds at the info in the show notes here. Like I said, a fellow member of the Visionaries Global Media, for that great review. I had not gotten a chance to review, watch this show yet, so I appreciate Eric jumping in there to do this for me once again. But yeah, like I said, make sure you're checking out Ruthless Pro, Miasma, on IWTV, and make sure you're following Freeds listening to Nattering UFD and Frigid A. But as always, I'll be at several of these shows, rocking my Hawaiian shirt, sporting my visor, guzzling some beer, honestly some ginger ale. So if you see me stop by for a high five, your first drink is on me, lead or unleaded. Plus, I know there's a lot of shows here in the Midwest wrestling scene that I may have missed. I love to put them all over, so tweet me at High Five Tom. That's the number 5, not 5 spelled out. Or you can hit up the Midwest Wrestling Roundup on the Twitter machine or the Midwest Wrestling Podcast group in the Facebook. I am hoping to revamp both of those in the near future, but I keep saying that, so we'll see if it ever happens. But lastly, a friendly reminder from High Five Tom and Visionaries Global Media. All fans, remember, all cards are subject to change. Thank you so much, High Fivers. Thank you so much, High Flyers. I'll talk to everybody next week.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.